Hey Brad, can you tell us about your background and how you got started as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, absolutely. So, out of college, I was doing all kinds of stuff. I did landscaping, construction. I was actually repossessing cars for about 3 years, which is the most fun I've ever had working for somebody. That's a phenomenal job, but it's tough when you work in nights. I had a great boss, but I always wanted to just do my own thing. So in 2011, I just said, I'm going to go for it. I went out and bought window film and rented a shop. I had never tinted a car before in my life, but I started an automotive window tinting company. I'm just the type of person that I'm gonna figure it out as I go. So I did that for probably about 6 years until I realized it was not getting me where I wanted. I didn't really like doing it anymore. I was making good money, but it just didn't seem like it was the path for me. So I started reading books, as you can see behind me. There we go. Read a lot of books and I got into real estate. I always knew I wanted to get into real estate. I just never knew, how to do it. Started reading, started going to local real estate events. And like everyone, they tell you, start with wholesaling. Wholesaling is where you're basically flipping a contract and making a spread in between. Maybe go flip a house, buy a duplex, buy a triplex, buy a quad, take the steps, right? I hired a coach, taught me how to wholesale. I did pretty well my first year. I did 80,000 in wholesale deals, but I didn't like the industry. I didn't like what I saw people doing. I was spending a ton of money and a ton of time to get to my next deal, which ultimately I was trying to get away from 60, 70 hour work weeks, which I was putting into my business. And I just replaced it with another business doing the exact same thing. So 2018, I walked away from real estate totally. And somebody posted a book on Facebook about apartment syndication. Read that book. It was like light bulb moment for me. Went out, found a coach to teach me how to, buy apartment complexes in a syndication. And I'll explain what that is in a minute. But I started in March of 2020. Excuse me. We all know what happened, 2 weeks into March, COVID happened. So that was an interesting time trying to learn a new business while people who had been in the business for 20, 30 years had no idea how to handle things. I got really good at finding properties, underwriting properties. That's the analysis part of apartment complexes because we analyze them based off the income, not comparable sales like single family homes. Went out and just continued to do what my mentor told me to do. And I ended up finding a property out in Wichita, Kansas. He asked me what the hell was in Wichita, Kansas. I had no idea, but the deal worked. So we went out and bought my first apartment complex, which was 70 units. We did a syndication. Like I said, a syndication is basically we take a bunch of investors, we pool all their money together, and then we go purchase a multi-million dollar apartment complex. So once we bought that one, we ended up getting another deal from the broker right down the street. So I ended up buying another 88 units a mile down the road. So as of right now, I own 158 units out in Wichita, Kansas.
Wow, yeah, that's incredible. Would you say like apartment complexes are your favorite to invest in?
Yeah, I've always knew that I wanted to get into apartments. I remember when I was younger, I used to stop at a light, sitting there waiting for the green light, and you look over and you go, "Man, how does someone get so rich? They just buy that thing." Had no idea what a syndication was, obviously, but then once I realized how a lot of people do it, or people are buying these things in funds, I saw the opportunity. So I literally just skipped all the stuff that I didn't want to do, which was wholesaling and fixing and flipping, and I went right to what I wanted to do. So I love apartments. I love looking at them. I love evaluating. I just like every aspect of apartment investing.
Yeah. So for like, what's like the good and the bad about investing into apartment complexes? Like, yeah, what's the downside and the good side?
Man, that's such a loaded question because we can look at that from so many angles. Right now, let's say the downside for the general partners, I'm a general partner. I'm the one who does all the work along with my partners. We found the property. We did the due diligence on the property where we went and toured all the units, made sure everything was inspected properly. We raised all the money for the deals and we operate it on a day-to-day basis. The downside is most apartment complexes don't cash flow well enough to pay very good right now. So both of my properties, yeah, we actually don't even receive any cash flow yet from them. We're still putting the work in to force the appreciation up so that they will cash flow better. So that's kind of the downside right now. In the last few years, the market's been at its peak, so everything was overvalued. So we had to you know, buy things more than we wanted to get, or pay more than we wanted to get into the markets. Other than that, I mean, as for the investors, it's pretty good. You know, they get their cash flow. You know, they have a passive investment into it, so they're not dealing with the day-to-day. They can be involved or as little involved as they want to. We have quarterly meetings. If they want to be there, they can be there. If not, you know, they can view the reports at any time. They are owners in the properties. Other than that, I would say probably the market right now is the biggest downside, that there's such a flood of new people buying properties the way that they shouldn't be buying them and overvaluating them, causing the values to go up. But yeah, the market always corrects itself. So
yeah. Is there a specific like milestone, like in your journey, that you like put the highest, like greatest success?
I would say buying my first apartment complex, the 70 unit, just because I'm the type of person people like to say, oh no, you can't do that. And I'm like, all right, watch me. So to be able to go out and do something that most people don't even think is possible, it was a great success that I've had in my business career. And then, you know, buying the second one and learning about the business and realizing that there's other ways to do this other than just syndication and going, taking a different avenue. I would say this has been the pinnacle. That's the name of our building, of my career.
Yeah. So like, what are like your favorite strategies in like marketing for those buildings, or like, is there any specific strategies that you have to like acquire like customers for those, or
My favorite in terms of what I do trying to find properties is definitely broker relationships, because it requires the least amount of work on my end. However, brokers are sending it out to everyone and everyone's seeing it, bidding it up. Best off at market strategy that I found is just going direct to seller, cold calling, sending mail, and just continuing to be consistent at doing that is by far the best. Those are where the best deals come from. I did that on the residential side, not yet on the multifamily side. It's just something I'm starting to get into.
Yeah. What are some of the most important lessons like you've learned while doing this? Like, is it, you know, communication between clients and investors? Like, what would you say would be your, like the, you know, greatest lesson that you've learned?
Partnerships. Partnerships. So yeah, my partners and I don't really get along too well anymore. We sat down, my partner is actually my mentor and his wife. They approached me, asked me to be a partner with them on a brand new entity, 33 1/3. And the deal was, I go find the deals, they go raise all the money. Well, I went out and found the deals. Obviously they couldn't raise the money, so they had to bring in other people to raise the money. So I got diminished in the returns that I should have been getting off of my property. So a lot of, you know, again, I'll take full responsibility of it. It was my fault. I should have put things in writing, should have looked at it differently, but instead I blatantly trusted people that I thought I could trust, and it turned out to go the other way. So I would say that anybody getting into any type of partnership business-wise, there needs to be clear communication, rules or guidelines on what each of you are going to do, and make sure there's an operating agreement so that if someone doesn't do their job, you know, there's consequences to it.
Yeah. For me, I want to start investing in real estate. I've talked to a couple people about it. I live in Southern Illinois, so it's fairly cheap, you know, Midwest for investing. What would you say I should do to like look at getting started into real estate?
What is your passion for real estate?
Like, we live in like a kind of like a complex, like you would say, like duplexes. And I really like, we owned a home, like a 2,600 square foot home. It was nice, but it was stressful for my parents, right? Because you have to, if something breaks and you have to go out and fix, you know, it's, you know, a hassle. So, and in the future, I could see this as being where it's at, right? Where it's kind of stress free. You hire someone to take care of the maintenance, someone mows the lawn. I enjoy living here, so I want to help build it for other people, right? And I see it as a easy way to make money. Not easy, but, you know, cash flow.
Okay. So what I'm trying to get at is, I'm trying to get you to answer your own question for you by asking you some questions. So yep. Is it duplexes that get you excited? Is it 10 units that gets you excited? Is it 100 units that gets you excited? Like, what gets you jacked up in the morning to get to work?
Yeah. So I wouldn't want it to be too big, like, right? Like, cause it's hard for me to comprehend that right now, but I would say starting out with like taking a few acres and putting, I don't know, 8 units on it, right? 8, 16.
So you want to build something?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I feel like, cause I don't know if it's better to buy something that's already there and just a little bit flip it and then, you know, like that, or build something.
Building always takes more time, but there's good upside with it. Depends. I mean, you're young, you don't have the experience of building anything yet. I'd highly recommend finding someone who has that experience and partnering with them. You go out and you do the work to find the land. And then once you find the land and it makes sense to build, you know, 8 units on it, then you go put in all the work to make sure that everything gets taken care of so that you can get it to the point where it's shovel ready and your partner comes in and just builds it.
Yeah.
Take on as much as of the work, the grunt work, as you can in the beginning because you're young and you don't have the money. And then that's how you get started.
Yeah. Okay. So partnerships. Okay. Yeah. Cause I have a lot of friends who, like, their parents do real estate and they flip homes and then they rent them out and things like that. And I've always wanted to have like that side of, you know, I want to try different things and figure out what I like, right? Because I'm 16, I've done a lot of online stuff. I've done e-commerce. I've done, you know, almost all online, very little like in person, like real estate kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just going to take some time for you to figure out what it is that you like. But obviously, if you already have an interest in building, I would explore that opportunity, see where it takes you. And you never know. You may decide that after doing that, or it's too difficult to find something, that you found something else along the path that makes you more excited. You know, people don't realize this is not success. It's all over the place. It's up and down. It's backwards. It's forward. You know, it took me till I was 35 years old to realize what I wanted to do, which was apartments. So. Yeah. You know, I think it's crazy that we think that 18-year-old kids are supposed to go to college and have their life figured out. It's insane. So if there's any advice I can give you on real estate or anything in general, just try stuff. Be willing to fail and see what you learn from that, and then take that experience on to the next thing.
Yeah. Bringing up college, did you go to college for a specific profession, or did you go to college?
I went to college to be a baseball player. I had a Division I scholarship to play baseball.
What school?
Long Island University.
I don't think, I haven't heard of it, but
it's up in it's on in Long Island, right outside of Manhattan.
That's pretty cool. Where do you see your business going in the future, between like real estate or any other businesses that you own?
Sure. So, still have the tinting business. I still do that from time to time. I have a couple accounts that, you know, it's doesn't make any sense for me to walk away from it yet, because I'm not making a killing off my apartments. I make a lot of money in a short amount of time when I do the work. But after getting into syndication and seeing the process and what that's like, my goal is to buy smaller apartment complexes, 5, 20, 30 units maybe, and just, you know, either own them myself or own them with a partner. I really don't want to get into, I don't want to say never. I would never do a syndication again. I mean, obviously, if the right opportunity came up, I would do it again. But when you have to answer to 30 investors at different times, and I'm not even the one that does it, one of my partners handles it, but I've been on our calls where our investors are there, you know, it's a lot when you have to explain to someone who's not used to running a business, you know, why the vacancy rate is at 6% instead of 5. Like, it's, and I'm not saying all the investors are like that, but sometimes you have investors, they want to ask you every single metric that's in, you know, the underwriting, or, you know, what's going on with the property. It's just a lot. I don't want to have another job. I got into real estate to have more freedom and to have more time. So I'd rather take less money down the road to be able to just be on my own and not have to answer to people.
Yeah. That's what, like, the biggest part is if I ever do real estate, I was thinking, you know, I would need investors, right? Like if I want to do larger, I feel like that would be the biggest struggle because I can see both sides, right? Like why is this not happening? But then as, you know, someone who's sitting there working on it and they're just, you know, to the side, it's like hard to conversate that. For me at the age of 16, so kind of going back on what we were talking about earlier, where do you think I should take my next step? Like where should I go? Like, where do you see like the most money coming in like everything? Like, where do you think I should invest in like things like that? Like
in terms of a business or?
Yes. Like as an entrepreneur, where should I start?
First of all, invest in yourself. There's no better investment than investing in yourself. And that could be books, that could be coaching, whatever it is, but invest in yourself before you invest in anything else. In terms of money, in terms of business, you know, I would say this is my advice. Don't go after something just because it makes a lot of money. I'm not saying to, you know, truly follow your passion and do what you love every day if it makes you $20,000 and you're poor. I'm not saying do that either, but you know, do something that has an interest to you. So if you get into real estate and you realize, hey, this is not for me, don't do it. A lot of people try to do things because of the money or do things they're just not good at. And that's when people struggle. So if you're struggling with real estate or you don't like it, pivot, go some other way. You know, if you start an e-commerce business, like you said, and you love doing it every day and you're making money, just keep doing it. I mean, yeah. Don't chase something just for the money or the opportunity to make money. You got to have some level of interest that you get up every day excited to get to work.
Yeah. And you said books. So what books would you recommend for me to read? Are there any books that you would recommend for?
Absolutely. So have you ever heard of Napoleon Hill?
Yep. I have his, like Russell Brunson's right here, Thinking Grow Rich. That was written by him. And then that might be the only one, but yeah.
So that book, Think and Grow Rich, totally overshadows his best book.
Which one is it?
Outwitting the Devil.
Outwitting. Okay.
That is my favorite book. And it's actually the second book I ever read. I saw it at Barnes and Noble and I bought it and it sat there for probably 6 months on my desk before I read it. But one of my favorite books. The next best book, because at your age, we want to fix 6 inches between your ears right now, because society will tell you a lot of things that are just not good information for you to listen to, is Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. It's a long book, so be prepared to read it for a couple months. I think it's about 500 pages.
Yep. I just got done with his, oh my goodness, how did I forget?
Unlimited Power?
No, it's like an investing one.
Oh, Money.
Yeah, which one is it? Hold on, let me check. Unshakable, that's what it was. Yes.
I haven't read that one.
Yep. So, what was the Tony Robbins one? Say it again.
Awaken the Giant Within. Awaken. Those are phenomenal mindset books. You know, there's a ton of them that I could recommend. But that's more than enough. And then the next thing I always recommend to people are books like The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, I think it is.
Yep, I've heard of Jeff.
And then The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy.
Yep, I read that one, I'd say probably 6 months ago. Yeah, around Christmas. Yep.
I mean, other than that, I've got some phenomenal books behind me here, but you know, those are some pretty good ones to start with.
Would you like, are those your favorite books? What are your favorite books?
Oh, favorite books, man. I mean, I would say Outwitting the Devil by far number one. Awaken the Giant Within, I like to read when life starts happening. A nicer way of saying depressed. Yeah. I read that book. I'll get about 150 pages in and I snap right out of it. That's a great book. I hate to turn around on camera here, but.
Yeah, you're good.
Robert Greene, The Laws of Human Nature, phenomenal book. He's also the author of Mastery, which is a great book, and 48 Laws of Power, which 48 Laws of Power. It's a good read, but not a big fan of it. Trying to think what else here. Relentless by Tim Grover and Winning by Tim Grover.
I read, which one? I think I read Relentless. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, those are, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is a great read. Stephen Covey. And then for a like novel biography kind of thing, Phil Knight's Shoe Dog is a phenomenal read.
Okay. Yeah, I love taking in books because I'm homeschooled and I do competitive swim. So I drive to swim practice like every day and I just like throw in an audiobook. And like if I'm sitting here working, I might as well throw in an audiobook also. So
okay, so you're I'm not an audible person. I like to read.
Yeah.
I highly recommend using the YouTube version of Outwitting the Devil because it's an actual devil conversation back and forth.
Oh, okay.
That's actually the only book I ever recommend somebody listen to.
Okay. Yeah, I have super bad dyslexia, so it's hard for me to read like, you know, books. It will take me so much longer.
Gotcha. Than,
instead of like, you know, audio. But yeah, thank you. That's great. I forgot to ask this. Where do you invest? Like, I know you said earlier, you said Kansas, like Wichita, Kansas, I believe.
But yeah. So the 158 units that I have are in Wichita, Kansas. I live in New Jersey. And I've recently shifted to starting to look in South Jersey. I've stayed away from New Jersey. It's not a great business state. Actually, it's freaking terrible. Mm-hmm. And it's not a landlord friendly state. It's tenant friendly. So that was the reason why I stayed away from New Jersey to begin with. But, you know, when you're looking at properties halfway across the country, it's a full day of travel. It's a lot of money to get out there. You know, we're lucky that my business partners live in Austin, Texas. So they make the 8-hour drive up to Wichita once a month. So it's good that we have that. But I have a lot of investors that want to invest with stuff around here. So, you know, we're going to take on the risk of maybe some problem tenants, but, you know, we'll see.
And no, that's all my questions. I think this was a great podcast. Thanks for having you on. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you having me, Carson.
Yeah. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah.
Have a good one.